Many corporations like to say that their people are their most important asset. There are a few problems with that approach. First, as soon as someone leaves, you've lost an asset. Second, if the company grows, then there may come a time later down the line when the company outgrows an employee because the employee still has the same skill set that he had when he first joined. When that happens, usually the solution in a lot of other companies is to bring in a more experienced employee from outside the company, which presents a third challenge. That new employee often may not be a culture fit. Our philosophy at Zappos is different. Rather than focusing on individuals as assets, we instead focus on building as our asset a pipeline of people in every single department with varying levels of skills and experience, ranging from entry level all the way up through senior management and leadership positions. Our vision is for almost all of our hires to be entry level, but for the company to provide all the training and mentorship necessary so that any employee has the opportunity to become a senior leader within the company within 5 to 7 years. For us, this is still a work in progress, but we're really excited about its future. Without continually growing and learning both personally and professionally, it's unlikely that any individual employee will still be with the company 10 years from now. Our goal at Zappos is for our employees to think of their work not as a job or career, but as a calling. Our pipeline strategy started when we first moved to Vegas in 2004. Even though Vegas was great for hiring for our call center, we found it challenging to convince merchandisers and buyers who had years of industry experience to move from places such as Los Angeles or New York to Las Vegas. So we decided to start training and growing our own merchants from the ground up. Today, nearly all of the hires for our merchandising department are for entry-level merchandising assistants. We have a 3-year merchant development program where merchandising assistants are trained, certified, and given increasing portfolio responsibilities, as well as put into management and leadership roles. At the entry level, all we really care about is if they are passionate about the category of product their team is responsible for. For our couture team, we hire people who love reading fashion magazines. For our running team, we hire marathoners. For our outdoors team, we hire people who regularly go hiking and camping on weekends. Over a 3-year period, merchandising assistants are promoted to assistant buyers and then to buyers. After 3 years, they can go on to become senior buyers, directors, and eventually VPs. Our pipeline philosophy has been incredibly successful within our merchandising department, and we spent the past year working on rolling out similar programs for all of our departments. There are specific training programs that are unique to each department, but we also have a pipeline team that offers courses for all departments. Many of the courses are required in order for an employee to be promoted to certain levels within the company, regardless of which department he or she may be in.
A sampling of courses offered by the pipeline team. 4-week new hire training, including answering the phones, Zappos history, Zappos culture, Communication 1, Communication 2, Communication 3, Intro to Coaching, Zappos Library, Fred Factor, and Fish, Intro to Finance, Science of Happiness 101, Tribal Leadership, 1-week Kentucky Boot Camp, New Manager Orientation, Performance Enhancement, HR 101, HR 102, Leadership Essentials, Zappos Library, Made to Stick, Finance 2, The Planning Process, Public Speaking, Delivering Happiness, Intermediate Level Competency with Microsoft Office, Grammar and Writing 1, Grammar and Writing 2, Stress Management, Time Management, Wowing Through Tours, Customer Loyalty Skills Refresher, Progression Plan Workshop.
Once our pipeline is filled for every department, then anytime a single individual leaves the company, there will always be someone right in front of him and someone right behind him in the pipeline to take over his responsibilities. In this way, the pipeline becomes the true asset of the company, not any single individual. Over the longer term, we are also planning on extending the pipeline concept up to 4 years before an entry-level employee joins Zappos. If our recruiting team can start building relationships with college students when they first start as freshmen and offer summer internship positions at Zappos during their time in school, then by the time they graduate from college, both sides will have a pretty good idea of whether Zappos is the right fit for the student. Once our entire 11-year pipeline is built, from 4 years prior to joining Zappos all the way through 7 years after joining Zappos, we'll have a substantial long-term competitive advantage over everyone else. Combined with our ongoing efforts to grow our brand and our culture, we believe that our BCP strategy, brand, culture, pipeline, will provide the platform necessary for Zappos to be a long-term, enduring, and growing business.
Tweets to live by. Everybody has their own private Mount Everest they were put on this earth to climb. Hugh McLeod. If you have more than three priorities, then you don't have any. Jim Collins. If the person you're talking to isn't listening, be patient. Maybe he has a small piece of fluff in his ear. Winnie the Pooh. In the pursuit of knowledge, something is added every day. In the pursuit of enlightenment, something is dropped every day. Lao Tzu. Someone broke into my car last night. Nothing worth taking. Car is actually less of a mess now. I should schedule this monthly.
Section 3. Profits, Passion, and Purpose. Chapter 6. Taking It to the Next Level. PR and Public Speaking. In the 2 years leading up to the announcement of the Amazon acquisition, Zappos started getting more and more media coverage. A lot of people assumed that we must have stepped up our PR efforts, but that wasn't the case at all. We simply continued doing what we had always done, constantly improving the customer experience while simultaneously strengthening our culture. The funny thing is that a lot of the press we got was for things we had first done several years earlier, such as paying employees to quit during their new hire training, or occasionally sending flowers to customers. We didn't intend for any of the things we were doing to end up in the news or on blogs, but every once in a while, a reporter or popular blogger would pick up on something that we were doing, and the story would spread like wildfire. We were as surprised as anyone else by the publicity, because it was never planned for on our end. We learned a great lesson. If you just focus on making sure that your product or service continually wows people, eventually the press will find out about it. You don't need to put a lot of effort into reaching out to the press if your company naturally creates interesting stories as a byproduct of delivering a great product or experience. As our media coverage increased, I started receiving more and more speaking requests for different conferences and industry events. One of my first speeches was at the Footwear News CEO Summit in 2005. I remember I was a nervous wreck because I hadn't really done much public speaking before. At the time, I agreed to do it because it would be a good opportunity to tell the Zappos story to a lot of footwear vendors we were still trying to establish relationships with. I wrote out my entire speech beforehand, and then spent a month memorizing it and rehearsing it. I couldn't sleep the night before my speech. It ended up going okay, and I was relieved when it was finally over so I could catch up on my sleep. Even though I didn't really enjoy the whole experience, it had a very positive impact on our business, so I was glad I had done it. Over the next year, a few more speaking requests started trickling in. I agreed to all of them with a feeling of dread, but I knew that they would help build our business and our brand. I also thought that, as uncomfortable as I was with doing them, they were opportunities for me to grow both personally and professionally. Like anything else in life, I figured that public speaking was just a skill that required practice on a regular basis. Each speech I gave was just another practice session. During my first year of public speaking, I was diligent about writing out my speeches beforehand and memorizing them. It took a lot of time to do, and I would never sleep well the night before my talks. Sometimes, while giving the speech, I would accidentally skip over or forget a sentence, or an entire paragraph, which would leave me temporarily flustered on stage as I racked my brain trying to remember the lines I had practiced the night before. With each speech, I found myself slowly improving, but I still didn't enjoy the actual speaking itself. Even though my speaking was helping build the Zappos brand, I thought that maybe I just wasn't meant to be a public speaker because I was so uncomfortable with the process, even after having done it for a year. And then, one day, I had an epiphany. I realized that nobody knew what I had written down beforehand. Nobody would ever know if I skipped a sentence, a paragraph, or even an entire section. I had also noticed that while people appreciated the content of my speeches, they generally commented about two things afterwards. They told me that they really enjoyed the personal stories, and they said that, even though many of them had already read about Zappos in the press, it made a huge difference to actually hear it come from me. They told me they could really feel my passion for company culture, customer service, and Zappos in general. So, for my next speech, I tried a completely different approach. I decided not to memorize or rehearse anything. I would just wing it and see what happened. I knew I had a lot of stories I could choose from on the fly to tell, and I knew that as long as I stuck to topics I was passionate and knowledgeable about, customer service and company culture, that I would have plenty of material to draw from to fill the time. When I finally got on stage, I still had some jitters for the first minute or two as I adjusted to the audience and the room. After that, the time just flew by. The audience was more engaged than they had been in my previous talks. I even managed to get some unexpected laughs from moments in my stories when I was just trying to tell a story instead of trying to recite lines from a script I'd written. I would later learn that I had achieved the state of flow. In his book by the same name, researcher Mihai Csikszentmihalyi describes flow as a type of happiness in which someone loses sense of time, self-consciousness, and even self. That's exactly what happened to me. From that point forward, I used the same formula for all of my speeches and found that most of the rest of the stuff that I used to worry about usually just fell into place. I just went by three basic rules for my talks. Rule number one, be passionate. Rule number two, tell personal stories. Rule number three, be real. I made the mistake once of agreeing to speak at a conference about a topic that I wasn't actually passionate about. Even though I knew all the content inside and out, I wasn't able to speak passionately, so my performance turned out to be only okay. But it was a good learning experience. Today, whenever I'm invited to speak somewhere, I let them know that I will only speak about certain subjects, which may or may not match the overall theme of the conference. I then leave it up to the conference organizers to decide whether they're okay with that or not. Usually, they're fine with it, but occasionally, not. In those instances, no matter how much money the conference is offering to pay Zappos, and no matter how good an opportunity it would be for Zappos to be exposed to that audience, I always do the same thing. I politely decline. Insights. As we started getting more and more speaking requests at Zappos, we started sending other people from different departments to speak as well. Just like in our culture book, different employees told their own personal stories and gave their own presentations and perspective. To this day, we don't have a standard PowerPoint presentation that everyone gives. All the speaking we've done has led to a lot of unexpected results that we could not have possibly predicted. In addition to plenty of coverage in blogs and in the media, we've gotten to know many, many different conference organizers, which led to speaking engagements at Tony Robbins events, TED India, the Technology, Entertainment, and Design Conference, South by Southwest, a conference where the Dalai Lama also spoke, and the Inc. 500 conference. I've met many of the authors whose books we admire and carry in the Zappos library, including Jim Collins, Seth Godin, and Chip Conley. We've had people from all levels of a lot of different companies tour our headquarters as a result of our public speaking appearances. From those, we've developed many great relationships and business opportunities that would have otherwise never happened. We apply our core values whenever we give these talks. Rather than use our speaking opportunities to explicitly promote Zappos, we instead try to share as much as possible about how we do things in order to help the audience pursue growth and learning. And, in line with our core value of trying to build open and honest relationships with communication, we're happy to share numbers and other detailed information. All of this led to the single biggest unexpected result of our public speaking, realizing that we were actually changing other companies and other people's lives. It slowly started sinking in that we could be part of something that was much bigger than Zappos. We realized that we could change the world, not just by doing things differently at Zappos, but by helping change how other companies did things. It's been rewarding to hear from other people and companies about how they've changed their lives or the way they run their business by doing things such as implementing core values, focusing more on customer service, and focusing more on company culture and employee happiness, and how doing so has actually improved their financial performance as well. We continue to hear from people every day that Zappos inspired them to run their business differently, not necessarily because they wanted to be just like Zappos, but because they saw a real-life example that it was actually possible to run a values-based company that also focuses on everyone's happiness. They saw that it wasn't just theory, that there was a way to combine profits, passion, and purpose. The feedback and stories we received led us to develop Zappos Insights, an online video subscription service, and Zappos Insights Live, a 2-day immersion seminar. Both programs are designed to help entrepreneurs and established businesses improve their companies. Many participants are specifically interested in learning how to create stronger cultures and their own set of core values. As we rolled out these additional services, we slowly realized that we were becoming part of a bigger movement. It was no longer just about Zappos. We were helping to change the world. Alignment. We did not invent the idea that having a vision that had a higher purpose was important. We did not invent the idea that having a strong culture and core values was important. Both of these ideas were highlighted in Good to Great and Tribal Leadership and have been around long before those books were published. But through tours, the culture book, public speaking, Zappos Insights, Zappos Insights Live, Twitter, and our blogs, we found ourselves in a unique position. We had scaled our business from nothing to over $1 billion in gross merchandise sales in less than 10 years. We had a strong set of integrated core values, and our culture of being open and honest and pursuing growth and learning was leading us to share rather than hoard all the corporate knowledge and learning we had accumulated over the years. We had a tough time convincing our board of directors, who were also investors, to embrace many of our activities that we believed would ultimately help build the Zappos brand and make the world a better place. The directors on our board came from primarily technology and manufacturing backgrounds, not retail or branding. Some of them didn't fully understand why we were doing Zappos Insights or why we wanted to embrace Twitter, and they really weren't convinced of the value of the brand culture pipeline platform we were building. Many of our efforts were dismissed by some members of our board of directors as Tony's social experiments. For the most part, members of our board of directors wanted us to just focus on the financial performance that was being driven by our e-commerce business, which made perfect sense. When Sequoia first invested in 2005, they had signed up to help build a service-focused e-commerce company. They probably expected some sort of financial exit in the form of an acquisition or IPO within 5 years, which was the timeline they saw from many of their other investments. They hadn't signed up for the additional things that we now wanted to do that were longer-term strategies and not directly related to e-commerce. And they certainly didn't sign up for us to help other businesses create their own visions or stronger cultures. But I saw the potential in what we were doing to make a much bigger impact beyond just Zappos. I'm pretty sure that my refusal to give up on that got me pretty close to being fired by the board. The 5-year mark from the time of their initial investment was fast approaching. Alfred, Fred, and I didn't want to sell the company, and due to a complicated capital structure involving liquidation preferences, attempting to go public during an economically turbulent time wasn't really an option either. In early 2009, we made Fortune magazine's list of 100 best companies to work for. We were the highest-ranking debut in 2009. At our offices, we were thrilled because that was an internal goal we had set in the early days of the company, and it came just a month after we hit our goal of $1 billion in gross merchandise sales, well ahead of schedule. But at the board level, we were at a stalemate. The board wanted a financial exit, but internally at Zappos, we didn't want to exit. We wanted to continue to build, and we were in this for the long haul. Luckily, I controlled enough voting rights so that the board couldn't force us to sell the company. But they controlled enough board seats so that in theory, they could fire me and hire a new CEO who didn't care about company culture and was only concerned about maximizing profits from our e-commerce business. I realized I was relearning another version of the same lesson from Link Exchange when our company culture went downhill, the importance of alignment. A strong culture and committable core values are important because they create alignment amongst employees. I was now learning that alignment with shareholders and the board of directors was just as important. Top 10 questions to ask when looking for investors and board members. 1. Do you really need investors? Can you avoid funding by growing more slowly? 2. How actively involved will your investors be? How actively involved do you want your investors to be? 3. What value beyond money can your investors add? Connections, advice, experience? 4. What is the time horizon for a financial exit that your investors are expecting? 5. What, if anything, are your investors hoping to get out of their involvement beyond just financial return? How would they prioritize those things? 6. Do your investors and board of directors buy into the vision and mission of the company? 7. Would they accept less profits if it meant that the vision could be fulfilled faster? 8. How flexible are your investors and board members in their thinking? 9. Who controls the investors? Who controls the board? 10. Do the core values of your investors and board members match the core values of the company? Alfred, Fred, and I brainstormed ways we could address the alignment issues we were having with our board of directors. We certainly didn't want to sell the company and move on to something else. To us, Zappos wasn't just a job or something to build our careers. It was a calling. We had too much of an emotional investment in the company to just give up. We had gotten through much tougher things at Zappos before. This was just another challenge we needed to figure out. So we came up with a plan. We would buy out our board of directors. Amazon. We figured it would cost about $200 million to buy out our board of directors. So we started looking for other potential investors. In early 2009, we started talking to various private equity firms, venture investors, wealthy family businesses, and wealthy individuals. The idea was to raise money from them for a stake in the company so that we could then buy out Sequoia and some of our other shareholders and board members. As we were going through the process of talking with these different potential investors, Amazon contacted us. We had been in touch with them for the past several years. Jeff Bezos, founder and CEO of Amazon, first contacted me back in 2005 and paid us a visit in Las Vegas. Even before he flew down, we let him know that we weren't looking to sell the company. Date, August 16, 2005. From Tony Hsieh to Jeff Bezos. Subject, Thursday's Amazon-Zappos meeting. Hi, Jeff. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person on Thursday. I just wanted to set proper expectations before the meeting and reiterate that we are looking to grow Zappos as an independent company at this point in time, but are always open to exploring partnership opportunities. I look forward to hearing your ideas on Thursday. When we started talking to Amazon in early 2009, however, both sides seemed to have a different perspective compared with several years ago. On the Amazon side, they seemed to be more open to the idea of us continuing to run as an independent entity, so that we could continue building the Zappos culture and business the way we wanted to. They had been following our progress over the years and saw that our approach to business was working for us. On the Zappos side, what mattered the most was continuing to do what we were doing for our employees and our customers while gaining access to Amazon's vast resources. In our minds, we thought of a potential acquisition scenario more as a great marriage than as selling the company. Both companies cared deeply about being customer-centric. We each just had different approaches to it. We thought of Zappos as being more high-touch and Amazon as being more high-tech. Even though our original goal was to buy out just our board of directors and the shares that they held and represented, the more we thought about it, the more that joining forces seemed to make sense. By doing so, all parties would be 100% aligned, which was the whole challenge that we were trying to overcome with our current board of directors. We had originally been resistant to the idea of exploring an acquisition scenario with Amazon, but Michael Moritz convinced us that it could end up being mutually beneficial and the best possible outcome for shareholders as well as employees. And, as it would turn out, he was right. Initially, Amazon wanted to literally buy Zappos using cash because that's how they had done most of their previous acquisitions. That didn't sit well with Alfred, Fred, or myself. In our minds, that felt too much like we were selling the company. Selling our company wasn't our goal. We wanted to continue building the Zappos brand, business, and culture. And we wanted to continue to feel like owners of the company. So we pushed hard for an all-stock transaction, meaning that Zappos shareholders would simply trade in their stock in exchange for Amazon shares. In our minds, this was much more in the spirit of the marriage that we were envisioning, analogous to when married couples get a joint bank account. As both sides got to know each other better over the next several months, our levels of mutual trust and respect for each other and for each other's businesses grew. When it finally came time to sign the paperwork, we felt incredibly lucky. Amazon was a win-win-win situation that made everyone happy. It was good for Amazon, good for our board of directors and shareholders, and good for Zappos employees. We could continue working towards our long-term vision and build our culture and our business the way we wanted to. If it weren't for Amazon, I'm not sure how we would have ended up resolving our alignment issues with the board. We might have remained at a stalemate. But as it turned out, our misalignment with the board turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It just goes to show that you never know when something you perceive as a negative will ultimately turn out to be a good thing. The hardest part about the whole process was having to keep everything secret from our employees for the several months leading up to the signing of the paperwork. We didn't want to do it, but were legally required by the SEC because Amazon was a public company. Jeff Bezos flew to Vegas and came to my house to meet Alfred, Fred, and myself right before the actual signing of the legal paperwork. I barbecued burgers for him in my backyard, and we all talked for a few hours. Later that night, Fred and I randomly ended up spending 2 hours in a recording studio talking and hanging out with Snoop Dogg. At the end of the night, Fred and I looked at each other and couldn't help but laugh. The entire day had been beyond surreal. July 22, 2009 was the day we were planning on signing and announcing the pending acquisition to our employees and to the world. We planned on announcing after the stock market closed. The hours leading up to the public announcement were nerve-wracking. We had to coordinate with Amazon to get all the timing down perfectly. We had to communicate with Zappos employees, Zappos vendors, Amazon employees, Amazon vendors, the press calling Amazon, the press calling Zappos, our customers, the SEC, our board of directors, our investors, and the general public, all within a 2-hour window, and it had to be perfectly coordinated. It felt like we were about to launch a rocket to the moon. Finally, at the predetermined time, I sent the following email to our employees. Date, July 22, 2009. From Tony Hsieh. To all Zappos employees. Subject, Zappos and Amazon. Please set aside 20 minutes to carefully read this entire email. My apologies for the occasional use of formal-sounding language, as parts of it are written in a particular way for legal reasons. Today is a big day in Zappos history. This morning, our board approved and we signed what's known as a definitive agreement, in which all the existing shareholders and investors of Zappos, there are over 100, will be exchanging their Zappos stock for Amazon stock. Once the exchange is done, Amazon will become the only shareholder of Zappos stock. Over the next few days, you will probably read headlines that say, Amazon acquires Zappos, or Zappos sells to Amazon. While those headlines are technically correct, they don't really properly convey the spirit of the transaction. I personally would prefer the headline, Zappos and Amazon sitting in a tree. We plan to continue to run Zappos the way we've always run Zappos, continuing to do what we believe is best for our brand, our culture, and our business. From a practical point of view, it will be as if we are switching out our current shareholders and board of directors for a new one, even though the technical legal structure may be different. We think that now is the right time to join forces with Amazon because there is a huge opportunity to leverage each other's strengths and move even faster towards our long-term vision. For Zappos, our vision remains the same, delivering happiness to customers, employees, and vendors. We just want to get there faster. We are excited about doing this for three main reasons. One, we think there is a huge opportunity for us to really accelerate the growth of the Zappos brand and culture, and we believe that Amazon is the best partner to help us get there faster. Two, Amazon supports us in continuing to grow our vision as an independent entity under the Zappos brand and with our unique culture. Three, we want to align ourselves with a shareholder and partner that thinks really long-term, like we do at Zappos, as well as do what's in the best interest of our existing shareholders and investors. I will go through each of the previous points in more detail, but first, let me get to the top three burning questions that I'm guessing many of you will have. Burning question number one, will I still have a job? As previously mentioned, we plan to continue to run Zappos as an independent entity. In legal terminology, Zappos will be a wholly owned subsidiary of Amazon. Your job is just as secure as it was a month ago. Burning question number two, will the Zappos culture change? Our culture at Zappos is unique and always evolving and changing because one of our core values is to embrace and drive change. What happens to our culture is up to us, which has always been true. Just like before, we are in control of our destiny and how our culture evolves. A big part of the reason why Amazon is interested in us is because they recognize the value of our culture, our people, and our brand. Their desire is for us to continue to grow and develop our culture, and perhaps even a little bit of our culture may rub off on them. They are not looking to have their folks come in and run Zappos unless we ask them to. That being said, they have a lot of experience and expertise in a lot of areas, so we're very excited about the opportunities to tap into their knowledge, expertise, and resources, especially on the technology side. This is about making the Zappos brand, culture, and business even stronger than it is today. Burning question number three, are Tony, Alfred, or Fred leaving? No, we have no plans to leave. We believe we're at the very beginning of what's possible for Zappos and are very excited about the future and what we can accomplish for Zappos with Amazon as our new partner. Part of the reason for doing this is so that we can get a lot more done more quickly. There is additional Q&A at the end of this email, but I wanted to make sure we got the top three burning questions out of the way first. Now that we've covered those questions, I wanted to share in more detail our thinking behind the scenes that led us to this decision. First, I want to apologize for the suddenness of this announcement. As you know, one of our core values is to build open and honest relationships with communication. And if I could have it my way, I would have shared much earlier that we were in discussions with Amazon so that all employees could be involved in the decision process that we went through along the way. Unfortunately, because Amazon is a public company, there are securities laws that prevented us from talking about this to most of our employees until today. We've been on friendly terms with Amazon for many years, as they've always been interested in Zappos and have always had a great respect for our brand. Several months ago, they reached out to us and said they wanted to join forces with us so that we could accelerate the growth of our business, our brand, and our culture. When they said they wanted us to continue to build the Zappos brand, as opposed to folding us into Amazon, we decided it was worth exploring what a partnership would look like. We learned that they truly wanted us to continue to build the Zappos brand and continue to build the Zappos culture in our own unique way. I think unique was their way of saying fun and a little weird. Over the past several months, as we got to know each other better, both sides became more and more excited about the possibilities for leveraging each other's strengths. We realized that we are both very customer-focused companies. We just focus on different ways of making our customers happy. Amazon focuses on low prices, fast selection, and convenience to make their customers happy, while Zappos does it through developing relationships, creating personal emotional connections, and delivering high-touch, wow, customer service. We realized that Amazon's resources, technology, and operational experience had the potential to greatly accelerate our growth so that we could grow the Zappos brand and culture even faster. On the flip side, through the process, Amazon realized that it really was the case that our culture is the platform that enables us to deliver the Zappos experience to our customers. Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon, made it clear that he had a great deal of respect for our culture and that Amazon would look to protect it. We asked our board members what they thought of the opportunity. Michael Moritz, who represents Sequoia Capital, one of our investors and board members, wrote the following. You now have the opportunity to accelerate Zappos' progress and to make the name and the brand and everything associated with it an enduring, permanent part of people's lives. You are now free to let your imagination roam and to contemplate initiatives and undertakings that today, in our more constrained setting, we could not take on. One of the great things about Amazon is that they are very long-term thinkers, just like we are at Zappos. Alignment in very long-term thinking is hard to find in a partner or investor, and we felt very lucky and excited to learn that both Amazon and Zappos shared this same philosophy. All this being said, this was not an easy decision. Over the past several months, we had to weigh all the pros and cons along with all the potential benefits and risks. At the end of the day, we realized that once it was determined that this was in the best interest of our shareholders, it basically all boiled down to asking ourselves two questions. Question number one, do we believe that this will accelerate the growth of the Zappos brand and help us fulfill our mission of delivering happiness faster? Question number two, do we believe that we will continue to be in control of our own destiny so that we can continue to grow our unique culture? After spending a lot of time with Amazon and getting to know them and understanding their intentions better, we reached the conclusion that the answers to these two questions are yes and yes. The Zappos brand will continue to be separate from the Amazon brand. Although we'll have access to many of Amazon's resources, we need to continue to build our brand and our culture just as we always have. Our mission remains the same, delivering happiness to all of our stakeholders, including our employees, our customers, and our vendors. As a side note, we plan to continue to maintain the relationships we have with our vendors ourselves, and Amazon will continue to maintain the relationships that they have with their vendors. We will be holding an all-hands meeting soon to go over all of this in more detail. Please email me any questions that you may have so that we can cover as many as possible during the all-hands meeting and or a follow-up email. We signed what's known as the definitive agreement today, but we still need to go through the process of getting government approval, so we are anticipating that this transaction actually won't officially close for at least a few months. We are legally required by the SEC to be in what's known as a quiet period. So if you get any questions related to the transaction from anyone, including customers, vendors, or the media, please let them know we are in a quiet period mandated by law and have them email tree@zappos.com. which is a special email account that Alfred and I will be monitoring. Alfred and I would like to say thanks to the small group of folks on our finance and legal teams, and to our advisors at Morgan Stanley, Fenwick & West, and PricewaterhouseCoopers, who have been working really hard around the clock and behind the scenes over the last several months to help make all this possible. Before getting to the Q&A section, I'd also like to thank everyone for taking the time to read this long email and for helping us get to where we are today. It's definitely been an emotional day for me. The feelings I'm experiencing are similar to what I felt in college on graduation day. Excitement about the future mixed with fond memories of the past. The last 10 years were an incredible ride, and I'm excited about what we will accomplish together over the next 10 years as we continue to grow Zappos. Tony Hsieh, CEO, Zappos.com. Q&A. Question. Will we still continue to grow our headquarters out of Vegas? Yes. Just like before, we plan to continue to grow our Las Vegas operations as long as we can continue to attract the right talent for each of our departments. We do not have any plans to move any departments, nor does Amazon want us to because they recognize that our culture is what makes the Zappos brand special. Question. What will happen to our warehouse in Kentucky? As many of you know, we were strategic in choosing our warehouse location due to its proximity to the UPS Worldport hub in Louisville. Amazon does not have any warehouse locations that are closer to the Worldport hub. there is the possibility that they may want to store some of their inventory in our warehouse or vice versa. Right now, both Zappos and Amazon believe that the best customer experience is to continue running our warehouse in Kentucky at its current location. Question: will we be reducing staff in order to gain operational efficiency? There are no plans to do so at this time. Both Zappos and Amazon are focused on growth, which means we will need to hire more people to help us grow. Question: will we get a discount at Amazon? No, because we are planning on continuing to run Zappos as a separate company with our own culture and core values. And we're not going to be giving the Zappos discount to Amazon employees either, unless they bake us cookies and deliver them in person. Question: will our benefits change? No, we are not planning on making any changes outside of the normal course of business to our benefits packages. Question: do we keep our core values? Yes, we will keep our core values, and Amazon will keep their core values. Question: will our training pipeline programs or progression plans change? Will there still be more growth opportunities? We will continue building out our pipeline and progression as planned. The whole point of this combination is to accelerate our growth. So if anything, we are actually anticipating more growth opportunities for everyone. Question: will we continue to do the special things we do for our customers? Are our customer service policies going to change? Just like before, that's completely up to us to decide. Question: can you tell me a bit more about Jeff Bezos, the Amazon CEO? What is he like? We'd like to show an 8-minute video of Jeff Bezos that will give you some insight into his personality and way of thinking. He shares some of what he's learned as an entrepreneur, as well as some of the mistakes he's made. For this audiobook, we're including the audio version of the video that Jeff Bezos made.
Hello, my name is Jeff Bezos. I started Amazon.com about 15 years ago. Tons of stories from the early days. We started the company in my house. We didn't have enough electric power in the house at a certain point. We only had about 4 employees then, but we already had enough computers and computer servers that we had to string these big orange electric extension cords from every room in the house to get enough power into the room where the office was. So we were basically, all the circuit breakers were flipping. We couldn't plug a vacuum cleaner in anywhere without flipping all the circuit breakers. So we finally had to move to a real office. When we launched the store, we made a very early mistake. It's one of my favorite software bugs of all time. We found that customers could order a negative quantity of books, and we would credit their credit card with the price, and I assume wait around for them to ship us the books. we fixed that one. It's fixed. And we've made a bunch of other mistakes over time, but we've learned a lot. My whole body is covered in scar tissue. We initially programmed a bell to ring every time we got an order, and I'm very pleased to say that within the first 30 days of doing business, that bell got annoying, so we had to turn it off. There was a great moment when we were examining every order that would come into Amazon, and it was always a family member placing the order. And the first order that we got from a stranger, I remember, you know, there were probably half a dozen or 10 of us in the company at that time, were all gathered around after the bell rang and looking at the order, and we're like, is that your mom? That's not my mom. And thus it began. A lot has happened over the last 15 years. As I said, we've made a lot of mistakes. We've learned some things. And I want to tell you everything I know. I can guarantee you everything I know. It's a very short list. This won't take long. It's complete, too. All right, well, the first thing I know is that you need to obsess over customers. I can tell you that we have been doing this from the very beginning, and it's the only reason that Amazon.com exists today in any form. We've always put customers first. When given the choice of obsessing over competitors or obsessing over customers, we always obsess over customers. We pay attention to what our competitors do, but it's not where we put our energy. It's not where we get our motivation from. We really like to start with customers and work backwards. And again, that is the key thing that I know, and it covers a lot of other mistakes. If you're truly obsessed over customers, it'll cover a lot of errors. The second thing I know is invent. It's really important to invent. Anytime we have a problem, we never accept either or thinking. We try to figure out a solution that gets both things. And that often requires invention, but you can invent your way out of any box if you believe that you can. And what we talk about is inventing on behalf of customers. It's not a customer's job to invent on for themselves. You need to listen to customers. It's critical. If you don't listen to customers, you'll go astray. But they won't tell you everything, and so you need to invent on their behalf. And that focus on invention has served us well. Some of the recent things, Kindle, not just Kindle, but EC2, the Elastic Compute Cloud, these are things that we would have never gotten to if we didn't have an inventive culture. But also, those are kind of large grain things, but they're small things too. And then, think long term. This is really critical. Any company that wants to focus on customers and put customers first, any company that wants to invent on behalf of customers has to be willing to think long term. And it's actually much rarer than you might think. I find that most of the initiatives we undertake may take 5 to 7 years before they pay any dividends for the company. They may start paying dividends for customers right away, but they often take a long time to pan out for shareholders in the company. So that ability to think in sort of 5 years and 7 year time frames really is very, very useful for us, and it's definitely one of the things that I know. It requires, by the way, and allows a willingness to be misunderstood. If you think long term, many of the inventions that we undertake, maybe if they're disruptive in any way, they may not be understood in the early innings, and it's always been very important for us to think long term so that we can tolerate being misunderstood. We've been called Amazon.toast, Amazon.con, many different things, many of them not appropriate for a video. and if we think we're right, then we continue. If we think we're wrong, if we're criticized about something we think we're wrong, we change it. We fix it. So it's important to really think about those things, but never to buckle to sort of standard kinds of pressures that come on that really force short-term thinking. And it's a huge competitive advantage to be able to think long-term, and you get to serve customers much better. All right. That's all that I know, really. I know one more thing. I'll save it for the end. But I want to, you know, this is a very exciting day. Zappos is a company that I have long admired, and for a very important reason. You know, Zappos has a customer obsession, which is so easy for me to admire. It is the starting point for Zappos. It is the place where Zappos begins and ends. And that is a very key factor for me. And I'm kind of, you know, I get all weak-kneed when I see a customer-obsessed company. And Zappos certainly is that. Zappos also has a totally unique culture. It's unique. I've seen a lot of companies, and I have never seen a company with a culture like Zappos's. And I think that that kind of unique culture is a very significant asset, and I'm super excited about that. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking with Fred and Alfred and Tony, and I have a good feeling for how important that culture is to Zappos, the Zappos brand, the Zappos customers, the Zappos employees. And that culture and the Zappos brand are huge assets that I value very much, and I want to see those things continue. And you're in such great hands with Fred, Alfred, and Tony. That's a really big deal. I've seen a lot of leaders of companies too, and I haven't seen people better than those three. There's a lot of growth ahead of us with Zappos. This really is the beginning. I'm just totally excited about what can be accomplished over time. My belief is we haven't seen anything yet. As much as Zappos has accomplished already, and it's a lot, with that unique culture and that great Zappos brand and those terrific leaders, I know that it's just the very beginning. And that brings me to my final thing that I know. It's always day one. There's always more invention in the future, always more customer innovation, new ways to obsess over customers. I'm super excited about Zappos. Thank you.
Question. I'm a business financial reporter. Can you talk like a banker and use fancy-sounding language that we can print in a business publication? Zappos is an online footwear category leader, and Amazon believes Zappos is the right team with a unique culture, proven track record, and the experience to become a leading soft goods company. Zappos' customer service obsession reinforces Amazon's mission to be the Earth's most customer-centric company. Great brand, strong vendor relationships, broad selection, large active and repeat customer base. Amazon believes Zappos is a great business, growing, profitable, and positive cash flow. Accelerate combined company scale and growth trajectory in the shoe, apparel, and accessory space. Significant synergy opportunities, including technology, marketing, and possible international expansion. Question. What is the purchase price? This is not a cash transaction. This is a stock exchange. Our shareholders and option holders will be issued approximately 10 million Amazon shares on a fully converted basis. The details of the deal terms and how the shares will be distributed will be filed with the SEC on Form S-4 and will be publicly available when it is filed. Question. Can you talk like a lawyer now? This email was sent on July 22, 2009. In connection with the proposed merger, Amazon.com will file a registration statement on Form S-4 with the Securities and Exchange Commission that will contain a consent solicitation prospectus. Zappos' shareholders and investors are urged to carefully read the consent solicitation and prospectus when it becomes available and other relevant documents filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission regarding the proposed merger, because they contain important information about Amazon.com, Zappos, and the proposed merger. Shareholders and investors will be able to obtain the consent solicitation prospectus when it becomes available at www.sec.gov or www.amazon.com/IR. Certain statements contained in this email are not statements of historical fact and constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements reflect current expectations, are inherently uncertain, and are subject to known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. Factors that could cause future results to differ materially from expected results include those set forth in Amazon.com's current report on Form 8K, dated July 22, 2009. Question. Can you please stop? Okay, thanks, bye. About 20 minutes afterwards, I sent a follow-up email letting our employees know that we would be having our all-hands meeting 2 days later. We had rented out one of the ballrooms in a conference center near our offices. And then, a funny thing happened. We had prepped the managers of each of the departments earlier that morning to meet with their teams to answer any questions they may have about my email. We had expected and planned for there to be no productivity for the rest of the day as our employees took in the news. As predicted, employees were initially surprised by the news. As predicted, employees had questions. But within an hour of the announcement, our employees got right back to work, continuing whatever they had been doing earlier. Our merchandising team was busy making phone calls to our vendors, and a handful of us were busy dealing with inquiries from the press. But other than that, for most people, it was back to business as usual. I was absolutely amazed. I had been worried that employees would be too shocked by the headline of Amazon acquiring Zappos to really take in all the details that were covered in my email. Instead, after the initial surprise had subsided, I overheard employees talking in the hallways about how excited and enthusiastic they were about the new possibilities that would open up once we had access to Amazon's resources. It was an incredible thing to witness, and perhaps one of the best examples of our employees embracing and driving change. All hands. The room was packed. I was on stage at our all hands meeting, looking over a crowd of 700 Zappos employees. Alfred and Fred were on stage with me, along with a couple of people from Amazon. Party music filled the room as employees streamed in looking for empty seats. I could feel the buzz and excitement in the air. Some employees brought beach balls and started throwing them around into the crowd. It felt like we were at a rock concert and a rave combined. We announced that we were going to start the meeting, and everyone cheered and started clapping. The energy in the room was amazing. We spent about an hour covering everything that was in the email I had sent out 2 days earlier and answered additional questions our employees had. Amazon also answered some of the questions to give their perspective on everything. I get asked by a lot of people what we would do differently if we had to do Zappos all over again, I said to the crowd. There's actually not much I wish we would have done differently. We've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but learning from those mistakes has made us that much stronger. But I do wish that we could have done things faster. And then I summed up everything in one sentence. Getting married to Amazon will allow us to fulfill our vision of delivering happiness to the world that much faster. As a surprise to our employees, Alfred and I announced that we were personally paying for and giving every employee a Kindle, Amazon's electronic book reader. And then, as a final surprise, we also announced that Amazon was paying for a big bonus to all of our existing employees to thank everyone for their hard work. Without any prompting, everyone in the entire room spontaneously jumped from their seats, standing up cheering and clapping. A lot of them even had tears of happiness streaming down their faces. Just like we surprise many of our loyal repeat customers with unexpected upgrades to overnight shipping, we had just made our already happy employees even happier with the surprise bonus. To me, that one moment represented success far beyond what I could have possibly imagined would be achievable 10 years ago. It wasn't just about the Kindle or the bonus. Those were just bonuses. The moment signified far more than that. The unified energy and emotion of everyone in the room was not just about my own personal happiness and not just about the happiness of Zappos employees. We were about much more than just profits and passion. Collectively, this marked the beginning of the next leg of our journey to help change the world. Half intentionally and half by luck, we had found our path to profits, passion, and purpose. We had found our path to delivering happiness. Halloween Toast. On October 31st, at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Time, after months of waiting for regulatory approval, the deal with Amazon officially closed. The total value of the transaction for Zappos shareholders was over $1.2 billion, based on Amazon's closing stock price the day before. I happened to be in New Delhi, India at the time. Alfred, Fred, and I had scheduled a conference call together to commemorate the event. In Zappos tradition, we had planned to take a shot of Grey Goose vodka together over the phone. "What should we toast to?" Alfred asked. For some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was Buzz Lightyear from the movie Toy Story. "To infinity and beyond," I said. We all toasted. It was official. Zappos and Amazon were married. We could finally start working together to combine our respective strengths of art and science, of high touch and high tech. We were excited about the possibilities of what was yet to come. We were excited about what we were about to build together. The future was waiting for us. No matter what your past has been, you have a spotless future. Author unknown. In January 2010, Zappos moved up 8 slots and was ranked number 15 in Fortune magazine's annual list of the best companies to work for. Chapter 7, Endgame. Delivering happiness. So far, this audiobook has been about me, about Zappos, and about some of the lessons we've learned along the way. So far, you've been a passive listener. As we near the end of this audiobook, I'd like to ask you to actively participate and think about the answer to this question. What is your goal in life? When I ask different people this question, I get a lot of different answers. Some people say they want to start a company. Other people say they want to find a boyfriend or girlfriend. Others say they want to get healthy. Whatever your response is, I'd like you to think about your answer to the follow-up question, which is just, why? Depending on what they said before, people might say they want to retire early, or find a soulmate, or run faster. Again, whatever your response to the previous question was, I'd like you to ask yourself again, why? The next set of answers people give might be so they can spend more time with their family, or get married, or run a marathon. What's interesting is that if you keep asking yourself why enough times, you'll find yourself arriving at the same answer that most people do when they repeatedly ask themselves why they are doing what they're doing. And it's because they believe that whatever they are pursuing in life will ultimately make them happier. In the end,